This is your Concordia, Nebraska all sports leader, Kubski, brought to you by The Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Kuby, alongside my partners, Eric Cumley. And we've got some ups and downs for you. We're back from spring break, by the way. Thanks for holding in and staying with us through this week. And we're going to start off with some kind of unfortunate news. The men's basketball season is now done, as they lost first round in the GPAC tournament 70-58 to Dakota Wesleyan. They will finish the season 17-9 and 14-6 in GPAC. So not a bad season, but not the season that they wanted.
Not the ending they wanted, at least. I mean, in that last game, they had some struggles. I mean, we didn't get the rebounds that we normally got. I mean, we lost the rebound challenge 28-37, and we just didn't put up points, really, and that came, it resulted with rebounds. We didn't get the ball back to put points back in the bucket.
Yeah, and we only had two players in double digits, and that came from Carter Kent with 13 and Justin Wiersma with 13 as well. The highest rebounder for our team was Ryan Holt with 5 rebounds. You know, we're normally at least one or two players in the double digits in rebounds. So
yeah, I mean, especially Gage Smith, too. I mean, he finished his game with 9 points and 3 rebounds, but everyone on the team finished with about 4 rebounds. I mean, like you said, the highest rebounder was Ryan Holt with 5.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of unfortunate. I mean, one of their goals was to win GPAC again and hit the playoffs once again, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But overall, not a bad season, 17-9, and they had some great winning streaks as well in early in the season, so you can't really knock them for having... This isn't a bad season. This is a really good season, but their expectations weren't fully met.
No, it definitely wasn't. And like you said, it wasn't a bad season. We had 3 players total reach all GPAC honors. That was junior Justin Wiersma, first team, Carter Kent, second team, and Gage Smith also had second team. So we had a couple all GPAC honors, but again, not really the finish that we were looking for in the tournament.
Right. And looking back in the history of Concordia men's basketball, these last two seasons for this Bulldog program have been very, very good. Last year, winning GPAC tournament for the first time since 2005, and now being able to have a winning record. They ended with a winning season for the second year in a row. So, I mean, kudos to them. They're doing good things. They're not going back into the bad team that they were in the past between 2005 and 2019. So I have high hopes for this Bulldog program in the future.
Oh, I mean, definitely. Next season should be really good, because everyone that I just named there for all GPAC honors are juniors. We're not losing any of those all GPAC honors players. So they're going to come back, and they're just going to come back with more chemistry and just more fire after this loss.
And the women's are also on fire, as they went all the way to the GPAC championship game against Morningside. Unfortunately, lost in a nail-biter with 7 seconds left. Morningside was able to get the go-ahead bucket to win it 67-65.
And we know when we say nail-biter, it was within, they scored with, what, 0.3 seconds left, 0.9?
It was like basically 3 seconds left.
Yeah, it was... So close. I mean, such a good game. Last to the final seconds, literally.
Yeah, it was close. But Concordia Women's made it to the playoffs, and they actually won their first round of the playoffs against Loyola New Orleans. They won that game 71-54. And the player of the game for us was definitely Taylor Cockrell with 22 points and 7 rebounds. Also racked up 3 assists. She had a game. She was going off and was on fire from inside the arch, so couldn't really stop her there.
No, I mean, she definitely stepped up and led the team, because, I mean, they came back from a 14-point deficit from the first half. At halftime, Coach Drew Olson and her said the right stuff to get the team motivated and back on their feet and just drive back and win that game. They really stopped Loyola New Orleans there. I mean, after halftime, they really picked it up.
They definitely did. And also a bench surprise, Taylor Farrell also racked up 14 points of her own, grabbed 4 rebounds in the help of the Bulldogs' win. And Tayshia Rustin racked up 10 points and 4 rebounds as well. And another rebound master, Riley Pauly, had 7 rebounds of her own.
Again, with the rebounds help. I mean, we got the rebounds and we scored 71 points.
And looking at the stat sheet, 36 total rebounds of Concordia's 49 rebounds were from defense. We had 36 defensive rebounds, while Loyola only had 27 defensive rebounds and finished with 41 rebounds. So the rebound game was, like, close.
But
we definitely ran away with it when it came to the defensive side. We did not allow that many second chance opportunities
exactly.
for Loyola.
I mean, they missed one shot and we get the rebound again and they don't have a second chance. That's how they only got 54. They didn't have their second, third chances from their rebounds.
Exactly. So this is a huge, huge win for and boost of confidence for our women's coming off of a Morningside loss, then now winning the first round of the playoffs, and now they're up against Merriman University March 19th at 6 p.m. That is in Sioux City, Iowa, in the Tyson Events Center. That'll be a good round two matchup. Merriman is obviously good enough to make it to the playoffs. And
oh, I mean, they're ranked fourth right now. We're 13th. But if you remember, Morningside is ranked five. So it's the rankings look like it's going to be like kind of an underdog game. But we lost to Morningside, who's one seed less than Merriman. And we lost to them in the final second. So this should be a great game for us. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I am too. This is going to be a great one. I will be watching that game. By the way, we're in March Madness, everybody. So the NCAA tournament is up and running. And when we talk about GPAC, for basketball, we are in the caliber of like of the Big Ten or the ACC of basketball. We have a very difficult and tough conference to play in, and that gives us a slight advantage of these other teams. Yes, they may have a great record and beat a ton of teams, but when it comes to competition, I feel like our conference is like the best conference in NAIA. So this may look like a huge underdog 13-4 game, but really I look at it as a 4-3 game, really, or 3-5 game. This is going to be a tough game, but I think we have a chance to pull it off.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, just going back on your point as GPAC being very difficult, I mean, we were talking about football, and Morningside was number one, number two in the nation, and they're number five in basketball. I mean, we're just keep talking about it. The GPAC is very difficult. As you were saying, I mean, not just with Morningside, but Northwestern was very good in both sports, not just football and basketball, but just all around, GPAC is very difficult to play in.
And Hastings is really good in basketball. They're really good in track. They're really good in soccer. You got all these different sports that have really dominant programs all through GPAC. So we're playing in a very tough conference, and I think that this game is going to be a good game, but I feel like we got a chance to win.
You know, as we're on the topic of winning, Mario Ybarra for Concordia's wrestling program won seventh place in the national tournament March 5th and 6th. We qualified three wrestlers for the national tournament. Mario Ybarra was the only one to place, and he also took All-American honors. Last season, he was 4 seconds away from doing that, and he lost very close last year. So after that loss last year, he was very determined to just get back to the tournament. And you know, it was actually questionable if he could because he had an injury. He broke his nose midway through the season, and he had to get an at-large qualifier berth for wrestling, which basically, if those of you don't know, is all the coaches in the conference get into a meeting, and they discuss on about 5 to 6 wrestlers that they think should be in the tournament that couldn't wrestle based off of injury or COVID stuff, you know, just kind of stuff out of their control. And he was lucky enough to get one of those votes, and he made the most of it. As I mentioned, we qualified three for the national tournament. We also qualified Gabe Crawford for 165 and Jacob Tells, who actually won GPAC his freshman year. A big upset there in the GPAC tournament. The other two wrestlers, Gabe Crawford and Jacob Tells, they didn't do too much in the tournament. It was a little disappointing just to see him. Gabe Crawford had two very difficult matches. He went into the tournament unseeded, unranked, and he faced off two top 10 wrestlers, and he got major decision in both of them. Two very difficult matches for him to start off the tournament with. And Jacob Tells went into the tournament ranked 12th, but again, he faced two top 10 matches in his first two. He also lost his first two matches. So, I mean, neither one of them really could get anything going. But like I said, Mario, he went into that tournament determined, and he came out on the podium with All-American honors at 7th place. And he's still also just a junior.
Oh, he's a
He's a junior. He has one more season left.
And that just tells you, like, with Jacob, he's a freshman. And getting this experience already in the national tournament will help him furthermore in the future. I'm not really upset at this turnout for our guys. We have a great look for the future of wrestling, especially with our younger guys and our junior class. I mean, obviously, this whole season doesn't technically count for eligibility. So a lot of even if you have a senior, he's able to come back if he wants to and do another year of it.
Yeah, I mean, as you were saying, the younger class, I mean, we started most of our duels, 6 out of the 10 starters were freshmen. So, I mean, they got a lot of experience, and they're just going to keep growing. And, you know, Jacob Toews to make the national tournament, like you said, and gain that experience is huge. I mean, last year, Mario Ybarra made the national tournament as a sophomore, and this year he places. So I'm so excited to see the steps that he makes next year as a senior.
Exactly.
And even Jacob Toews, like what you were saying, just getting that experience, it's just huge. I don't think people understand how much experience really does help.
It does, because if you look at the history of it, when we had juniors and seniors leading the way for our GPAC wins in the past, like, it was veterans taking charge and proving themselves. And now we don't have that many veterans anymore. We have like 2 or 3, four.
We, like I said, 6 of our starters were freshmen. So
right, we don't have
4 veterans at most.
Right. We have 4 veterans at most, as you just said, and then the rest are freshmen, young guys, who this is their first ever year of wrestling in collegiate level wrestling. This is a brand new level. They may have been stars in high school, but this is GPAC wrestling. This is college wrestling. This is NAIA Division II wrestling. This is top of the notch, really.
I mean, obviously,
you can get higher with different divisions, but
this is
a really good division.
Yeah, like you were saying, like with collegiate wrestling, I went to the first duel that they wrestled at, and then I also went to the last duel they wrestled at, and it was just a huge difference. I mean, you could tell that they had just gained confidence in general and just have adapted to the way collegiate wrestling is instead of high school. Kind of going back to Mario's last match, the 7th place match, that match was a nail biter. It was 1-1 the entire match, and it went into overtime.
Oh my goodness.
I'm watching it on my phone, and in overtime, it's going down to the last 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden, he gets a takedown in the last final seconds of overtime, and he gets that 7th place. It was truly spectacular.
Well, congratulations to him, and congratulations to the wrestling team for producing 3 national qualifiers. So that's a huge, huge accomplishment. Good luck on the rest of the season, basically. I know it's over, but you got off season, you got a whole next season. I think I'm looking forward to what happens next. On the topic of nationals, track and field went into the national tournament for indoor, and they ended up with a total of 22 All-American honors. I'm just going to list a few, like Rachel Battershell and Josie Pels were 2 of many who got these honors. Zach Bennett's also got it, and Chase Berry also received this honor. So congratulations to all 22 athletes. As overall, men finished 12th in the nation, and women's finished 3rd once again in indoor. So huge accomplishments there. Cody Williams in nationals finished 3rd overall in the heptathlon. So congratulations to him. I mean, that's top 3 right there. I don't care if you're number 3 sitting at top 3. That's top 3. That's pretty dang good. And we also have a history maker once again. Her name, Josie Pels. What does she do? She becomes the first Bulldog ever to win the pole vault national title. First, she clears 13 feet, becomes the second woman ever in Bulldog history to do that. Then she sets the record at 13, 4 and a half. And now she becomes the first ever Bulldog to win a national pole vault title. Wow.
During the season, she was making history, jumping, clearing 13 feet, and then setting the title. And then she just makes one last bit of history mark in her name right at the end with the national tournament. Congratulations to her. But as you say, Rachel Battershell won the 400 meters, And she is now a two-time 400-meter national champion. So congratulations to that, too. She holds on to her title and continues that streak.
Congratulations to her, as she's only a junior, has one more year left. I shouldn't even say that. She still has the outdoor season to go. I mean, all these athletes have the outdoor season to go. And looking forward to a great outdoor season, but what a great indoor finish.
Yeah, it truly was. I mean, like you said, we had 22 of the 37 that qualified finished with All-American honors. That's more than half. That's very good. And like you said, the women's took third, and the men's took 12th, you said. And last year they finished 17th, so they're getting better and better as well. And, you know, I'm excited for this outdoor season because it's weather's getting nice, it's sunny outside, and this is just going to be fun.
Congratulations to all 37, really, who qualified and getting to this national tournament, as well as the 22 All-Americans. We're looking forward to a great outdoor season. Concordia volleyball team is now restarting their season after what their normal schedule was supposed to be like in the fall, because they are a fall sport. The first half of the season, they went 12-3 overall and 12-3 in GPAC, because they only played GPAC games. But a huge, huge testimony to how great these women are. Going to their first ever national tournament appearance last year, doing really good, and now they're continuing the hot streak and even into the second half of the season, as they played Ottawa University on March 17th over break. On March 17th, they won that 3-1, so that puts them up to 13-3 overall. They have one more game until GPAC tournament is upon us, and then after that, they head into the national tournament. But let's look at part of these stats. They did pretty dang good.
Cameron Opfer had 21 kills. She led the team with 21 kills. I mean, the next closest person was Kara Stark with 16. So she really dominated in this, I guess, debut for the postseason. She really just picked up where she left off from the regular season.
They all did, really, if you think about it. Marissa Horman finished with 28 defensive digs. And we also had three other girls finish with 12 digs, defensive digs. Tristan Mason, Cameron Offer, and Aaron Johnson all finished with 12 defensive digs. That's a testimony to how well our defense is when it comes to volleyball.
Like you said, three girls had 12. I mean, I don't know what to say. You just said testimony. There's nothing else you can say about that. That's just
consistency.
Yeah, consistency. It's just showing how well our defense is. And you know, this is the first game back from, I guess, a huge break, really. They've never done this, and it feels like they never skipped a beat.
They did not, really. Also, I want to point out, Tara Cullahan had 45 assists in this game, being the go-getter for setting up our other girls for points. What a great game. Obviously, unfortunate that they couldn't go up with a shutout, but 3-1, that's still really good. Their next matchup will be against Grandview University at Grandview in Des Moines, Iowa on March 27th at 4:30 p.m. Another team coming from a COVID break is men's soccer. They finished the first half of the season 9-3-2 overall and 7-2-2 in GPAC. Not a bad season. I mean, obviously it could have been better, but they're looking to rebound in this second half of the season, as they will face Benedictine College March 20th in Atchison, Kansas. Kickoff will be at 3:30 p.m. Moving on to the women's side of soccer, they finished the season, the first half of the season, 9-3-1 and 9-2-1 in GPAC. They played a game already in the second half of the season. They played Southwestern College on March 6th. They lost in double overtime 1-0. How unfortunate. That's a heartbreak right there. Ooh.
That's not how you really want to start your, I guess, postseason it would be. They fought hard with double overtime, obviously, but just trying to get that goal. They had 13 total shots compared to Southwestern 7, so their goalies had 4 saves.
Yeah, I mean, just one little sneak through, really, on those 7 total shots was the nail in the coffin, really. But 13 shots, 4 of them shots on goal, that tells you our offense was there. We were at the point of attack. We were able to be aggressive, but unfortunately, none of our shots were able to go in goal, which is kind of sad, but overall, not a bad restart to the season, fighting through double overtime, proving that there's still more soccer to come.
It really does. And, you know, if you're questioning if they were in shape still from just taking a huge break, they definitely are with double overtime.
Oh, yeah. That's over 100-plus minutes. We also have some very sad news, and we do need your guys' prayers. So if you would be praying for our fellow brother and teammate, Gerald Morris. Him and three other teammates were involved in a single car crash on their way to spring break. The other three teammates are healing. They're out of the hospital with injuries. But Gerald is still
in ICU.
In ICU, and just needs all the prayers he can get.
Yeah, he does need all the prayers he can get. And, you know, it's really tough. And everything, he's sustained quite a bit of injuries. The biggest one that they're concerned with is his short-term memory. He wakes up quite a bit with short-term memory loss, and he doesn't really know where he is and everything, and he freaks out a bit. But, you know, can you guys just keep him in your prayers? And he has a GoFundMe page, because right now he's still in Utah because he's unable to leave. So his GoFundMe page is to get him back to Texas and to a rehabilitation center, just to try and get back on his feet and everything. So that is gofund.me/14BC20AC.
Please go to that link and support. We will post those links on our Instagram and Twitter so you have access, so you don't have to write this down, basically. But please support him in your prayers. And that's all we got for you today. Please follow us on Instagram at CUNEKubski. And Twitter
at Kubski.
Also, email us if you have any thoughts, questions, or comments about the show. That's CUNEKUBSKE@gmail.com. Again, that's CUNEKUBSKE@gmail.com. We are looking forward to next season and bringing you more content. Thank you all, and have a good night.
Bye.